Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Welcome to No Bunts, the show for the casual baseball fan here on the Athletic Podcast Network, brought to you by your sports loving friends at No Dunks. I'm Tass Mellis. With me here in the Classic Factory, the man making the magic happen, it's JD.
Hello.
Hey, JD.
We love sports.
We don't care who knows. Also with us, a special guest. Because here on No Bunts this season, we've had a baseball player, we've had baseball writers, Hall of Fame baseball writers. Matter of fact, we've had internet friends, we've had b-ball writing friends. Well, now we've got a Hall of Fame friend here in the studio. Joel McMillan is with us. Joel,
I'm happy to be here.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Well, let's before we get into the stuff we're going to talk about.
Okay.
Got some housekeeping to do.
Sure.
Business at hand. We got to pitch ahead. Chris Kirschner is coming on.
Okay.
He got to run the sausage race in the Milwaukee Brewers Stadium.
That sounds like an amazing experience. I would love to do that.
Right?
Yeah.
You would?
Yeah. I mean, I would finish dead last, but I would enjoy doing it. Yeah. Running's not my strong suit.
Okay. I'm laughing, but I mean, maybe once upon a time it was.
That was a long time ago. Long time ago.
Anyways, he's going to come on. He didn't finish dead last.
Okay, good for him.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler.
Also, we're trying to sell some shirts here, Joel.
Okay.
This is my uniform I wear every No Bunts episode, and we're trying to sell some No Bunts episodes. This Blue Jays one is, it's amazing.
Yeah.
The color is fantastic, and we've got a deal going on right now. If you buy any other No Dunk shirt, you can get a No Bunts shirt for 50% off, the one I'm wearing or the Expos one. As a matter of fact, if you buy any of the Breaking T-shirts, they do all sports. Our friends at Breaking T who produce our shirts for us, you get 50% off either of these No Bunts shirts. A perfect time as the Jays are approaching the playoffs here,
yeah,
baby.
Absolutely.
So go over to NoDunks.com, use the code NoBunts, get a Toronto or Montreal T-shirt. 50% off. Also, last bit of housekeeping before we get to the stuff we want to talk about.
Okay.
No Buffs is back because Survivor is back. And here at the Classic Factory, we review every episode of Survivor. Just started. No Buffs is on its own feed on YouTube and in your podcast feed. So, Joel, have you gotten into Survivor at any point?
I watched the first two seasons, and I was very disenchanted with season two. I didn't like the way it ended. I specifically remember Michael, the chef, Colby.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, okay. And I just
do. JD does.
Okay,
though, yeah.
Sorry. This is very, like, going by memory, and I just remember I didn't like the way it ended up. I liked the premise. I liked the first two seasons, but the way season two ended, and then that's where I got off. That's where I got up. But I know it's still insanely popular with a lot of people.
Do you remember that season, JD? Were you disenchanted?
Yeah, of course. Was I disenchanted? I don't think so. Who won that? It was Tina, right?
It came down to like Michael, Colby, and Tina. And
right.
Then Colby had a chance, I think, to... the way he voted was very strange, yeah.
Yeah, he basically handed it to Tina.
Yeah.
He could have won, but he didn't.
Yeah, and I wanted Colby to win. I liked him, and then, yeah.
He didn't.
Yeah.
And then he came back and he shat the bed.
Oh, did he?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
You got to catch up. It's a great time to get in.
Okay. Maybe I'll get back in.
Yeah, I've gotten into it late. You got into it at the beginning. You watched the first couple of seasons. I've watched the last couple seasons. Mm-hmm. So we're bookending it.
Okay.
So, meet
you in the middle.
I'll meet you in the middle. Yeah, we'll go back and watch.
Okay.
I'll start by watching season 40, 39, 38, 37, and you start, and we'll see where we meet.
Okay, wow.
You start at 3.
Is that season 40?
They're on 42.
43.
Yeah, this is 43. Okay. Anyway, we've rectified our situation, JD. I wasn't hearing anything, but now we're good, right? Now I'm hearing
stuff.
Are
we good?
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't for a while.
Yeah, see, we gotta check stuff.
I didn't bring that up before.
That's my bad.
So that's why I was a little flustered to start. But
you're good now, though.
We're rolling, baby. Let's didn't give you earbuds, Joel, here. You don't need to hear anything.
It's okay.
You just need to hear yourself talk about baseball because you love baseball. That's why you're here, Joel McMillan.
I love baseball. I'm a big baseball fan, the biggest.
You're going to catch me up on the last 20 years of baseball in this next podcast.
Okay. What did I get involved in? 20 years.
20 years. Because you adore it. You're the guy I often text. We text about the Blue Jays mostly. Mm-hmm. And you yourself now, you're living in Taiwan.
That's true.
A Canadian. In Taiwan but you still follow baseball.
All the time. Yeah. Consume a lot of it.
Did you follow any of the Asian leagues at all? I guess the Korean Baseball League was a thing here, even in North America.
Right, they were televising it, I think, on ESPN.
At the beginning of the pandemic, because we didn't have anything. We had Korean baseball, the KBL, if that's what it's called.
Yeah.
That was on ESPN. We're watching that.
Yeah.
Seems like fun.
It's like the style they play in Korea and Japan and Taiwan, it's a much faster game. It's not so much of a power game like they play here. The Japanese version of baseball is very exciting. A lot of moving parts, a lot of bunting, a lot of hitting and running. It's just a faster paced game. Whereas, like MLB is more like station to station, get a guy on base, like, you know, and move him over like with a hit. Whereas, like, the Japanese baseball, it's, you know, like Ichiro, like he's laying down a bunt and he's already like out of the box, you know, as soon as he makes contact. It's a very, like, as a baseball fan, I actually really like, I mean, I love MLB, but the Japanese baseball product is very exciting to watch. And I recommend, you know, if you're an MLB fan, but you've never watched a Japanese game, like, do yourself a favor, because it's actually very exciting to watch.
Did you go to any games in Asia? Whether it's
I've been to games in Taiwan, Korea, and I've been to 4 games in Japan as well. Yeah.
Ooh. What's the experience like? Is it a uniform experience, or does it vary country to country?
Japan definitely is the most boisterous and loudest crowd. Like, they're very into it. Like, there's designated cheers for each player. And then when that team's at bat, the other team gets to cheer. And there's designated sections for opposing fans to lead these cheers. Yeah, and there's, you know, there's cheerleaders. You're just constantly cheering, which is very different from, like, watching a game here where you kind of cheer where there's, like, an exciting play.
Yeah, that's why every time I hear or see a highlight from Asia, it seems like there's a constant stream of cheering in the background.
There is.
It literally sounds like a track, like a cheering track, like this that you insert into a sitcom. Honestly, that's what it sounds like, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so it just sounds like it doesn't break. It's just, it's like the same. So they've got chants, I guess, that they're doing over and over again. That's amazing.
It's
a little more football, like soccer-esque in that way.
That's a great comparison. It is, and like, even if you don't like baseball, like, I've had friends that I lived in Japan, and I had friends who didn't like baseball, but I took them to games at Hanshin. We got to go see the Hanshin Tigers. They play at Koshin Stadium, very famous team, and they have these balloons, and they play the song called Roko Oroshi in the 7th inning, and everyone blows up these long balloons, and then at the end they let them go, and all of these balloons fly up into the air. It's really cool.
Oh.
Yeah, so, like, even if you don't like baseball, it's still just kind of a cool experience to have. Yeah.
So that's like 30,000 simultaneous balloon farts happening at the same time.
It's a lot, yeah. But it's so, like, amazing and energetic to see and experience at the same time. It's really cool.
I think this was off air, JD, but you were mentioning how way back when, it's been a while, that you had to record your own audio effects once upon a time.
Yes.
I think Matt was asking you about...
Yeah. About farts.
Farts. So would the 30,000 simultaneous balloon farts, would that... You'd pull out the mic or the recording device.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, totally. I mean, I thought you were going to mention me shooting a baseball game, but no... Because I shot a baseball game at center field.
Were you doing
center
camera? I thought you were producing.
No. I was on a camera op. No, producing. No.
Well, like for an inning or something, I thought.
No, I shot the whole game.
I didn't know
on
that.
On center field, yeah. Oh,
wow. So, yeah, we got to be at the Rogers Center as for Ryerson.
Mm-hmm. I remember you guys talked about that there. Before, yeah.
So you did, yeah.
I did center field camp.
Yeah, I thought we were all rotating in roles because I got to go
you
into.
You rotated, yeah.
Yeah, I got to go into the analyst chair. Amazing. Phenomenal.
You did a great job.
And you did a great job on center camera,
thank
too.
You.
I didn't realize that you were on center camera, but.
Yeah.
So what was the main thing that you took away from that?
That shooting sports is hard. It's very hard.
Even as the center camera person?
Well, yes, because you have to follow the runner as well, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I almost zero experience well. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you wouldn't move much at all from that stationary camera. You just
I would also, you know me, I would like finesse it. I would be like, you know, start a little wide, and then as the winding up for the pitch, you're sort of coming
in. You have to. Yeah,
and then if the ball gets hit, you snap out. And then try to find either the runner or the ball. So
I guess it was a low budget operation. The reason why I thought
it was a no budget operation.
The reason why I thought you would be stationary is because there'd be cameras on each.
Oh yeah, there were cameras around.
Yeah,
but you know we were all students. Yeah, I guess it was the one game of the year that they don't televise.
Yeah,
so they just let us take over.
Mm-hmm. And so this was 2005, I guess.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, they were airing our feed on the Jumbotron.
They were. They were using our footage for that, for sure.
Yeah.
100%.
Nice.
Amazing. Amazing.
Great, great experience.
Bringing back some memories, Joel.
Yeah. And just quickly, like, there was actually, you know, speaking of this, the Blue Jays were playing the Phillies the other night, and Bo Bichette, I believe it was Bo, made an errant throw, and it hit actually one of the camera operators. They had to go to the hospital.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Which was wild. So, yeah. He's okay.
In the third base bay, right? Like it was right by. Oh, no, that
no,
was an
first
errant
base.
Throw.
First base. Oh. Yeah, I think it was on the first base side. Yeah.
I'm thinking of a bat that got.
I'm not sure. I just know Bo, yeah.
Bo labeled somebody.
Yeah.
Amazing. You know
Speaking
what?
Of Bo Bichette.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tess. I was in Canada this weekend, this past weekend. Mm-hmm. I watched an entire Blue Jays game because that's what everybody's doing. Everyone's excited.
Yeah.
And then there's this guy who's playing. They announce him, Bo Bichette. Like, how is this guy not like have a Mandalorian or like a Star Wars nickname? Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Because it's Boba Fett.
Yeah.
But not at all. Like, no, they're like, what are you talking about? They're like, they could call him the Manchurian. They could call him whatever. And then I realized it's because Boba Fett is not actually a good character. You know, like the entire first trilogy is on for 3 minutes total. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't do anything. Basically gets his ass handed to him by accident. And he gets supposedly killed. But anyways, I digress.
I wonder how many people have thought of that.
Well.
It sounds so much like his name.
I thought they were saying Boba Fett. Is there actually a player called Boba Fett? And then there's like, no, it's Bo Bichette.
Yeah, it's close.
God damn. At least come out with the Mandalorian, you know, walkout music or something. But he probably just wants to get away from it.
Yeah.
What is the crossover of Star Wars fans and and Blue Jays fans? We do have a bleacher creature here watching live. Eshwa Kid saying, I was thinking the same thing, JD, but people love Boba, actually.
Was his comment. Eshwa. People do love it. Inexplicable. You know what? Eshwa is because he's a cool-looking action figure. Like, they remember the Boba Shett's antics in their imagination, not in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Because Eshwa, you have to admit...
Oh, boy.
...that...
I took us off the course when I started talking about audio effects, and now JD's going...
Yeah.
Go
on. Eshwa, let's talk offline.
Let's talk offline. Sorry, JD. you said you weren't going to talk about Boba Shett. Behind the scenes, you
I said I wasn't going to talk at all, and I've done more talking than both of you, so take it away.
I know you have. Anyways, I thought, Joel, you always come down here to Atlanta to visit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We always get in a baseball game.
Yeah, we do. We've been to 3 Braves games.
But I'm shocked you picked a weekend. The Braves aren't at home.
Just the way the timelines worked out this time. Yeah, we watched the Braves last night. We at least watched them on TV.
Yeah, because I always want to recreate the photo of... It basically looks like the meme of the eight white guys in a lineup with their heads kind of peeking out. I think they're at a tennis match. Mm-hmm. They're all looking at the boat shoe sale, it sure looks like. And, yeah, if you're following along on YouTube, we did that last year, I guess.
Last September.
And you missed it by a day because you came Thursday.
I got here yesterday.
The day before, Wednesday afternoon. Mm-hmm. There was a Braves game. We could have been there on an afternoon game where you could just stroll around.
I know.
And I had a friend of the program, Seb, who was very, very nice to host us a few weeks back at a Braves game. And he was texting me, said, I thought you guys were coming because I did want to go to the day game. That would have been really, really nice. Mm-hmm. He hosted us. And in your honor, I was calling him Joel a little bit because he kind of looks like you. I think we have a photo. I think we have a split screen here. Maybe back in this, not really. It's not a very good comparison. When you had more of a scraggly beard.
Yeah, it was bigger back in the day. Yeah,
it's like a couple years ago. There's some similarities. Yeah.
Okay,
a little bit.
I
see it.
Yeah. I just noticed in that photo you showed too, I was wearing the exact same shirt. So, dear internet, I do have more than one shirt. Yes. Yeah.
I don't know, Joel. I don't know.
I like this shirt.
Wait, where are you really?
Yeah, I was in that photo. I didn't. Yeah, there. See, it's the same shirt.
Yeah, I was blinded by the thighs in this photo. Yeah. A lot of thigh.
Look at that. What a good looking
modern
group
of men, guys. JD. We're fine showing our thighs.
Yeah, y'all look great.
Go Braves.
That was last year.
Yeah.
That was a fun time.
It's always good. I mean, I going to a baseball game is fun. I mean,
I agree with you.
You're outdoors. You don't have to constantly watch it. You can walk around. But I mean, I like that.
The best thing about a baseball game is you don't have to watch the sport.
But you can socialize. Like with basketball, ice hockey, you're constantly having to watch, which isn't a bad thing, but I mean, I like taking a break, chatting with my buds, you know, and whatnot. Yeah, it's fine.
It is. You mentioned a big plus of being at a baseball stadium is being outdoors.
Yeah.
That's why the stadiums that are only indoor, solo indoors, like Tropicana Field, they got to get rid of it.
No, got to go.
It's like, why would you want to go sit indoors? It hurts. It hurts to think about that. You know, the Rogers Center, obviously, retractable. Every indoor stadium, it'd be nice for a stadium in Tampa to have the ability to open up, but also to close because it gets super duper stinking hot. Anyways, I may go see a baseball game down there. I've been talking about it for a while here on the show. May or may not happen. JD, I got another question for you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Pulling you in. Have you watched A League of Their Own, the series?
No, not yet.
It's fun. It's very fun. Have you watched it?
There's a series, A League of Their Own?
Yeah.
I wasn't even aware.
It's one season. It came out earlier this year.
What are we talking? Prime?
Prime.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know Prime.
It's on the list, man. There's a lot of content out there.
Yeah, it's true.
Fun little series. The way they shoot the baseball parts is very funny.
You should have told me you were going to talk about this.
No.
I would have binged it last night.
No, we'll talk about it some other time. We'll talk specifically, you just watch. The stories are great. A lot of, you know, big issue topics, but the actual baseball production is funny. I don't think they don't film them playing baseball with a baseball at all. It's all CGI.
Really?
Yeah, they'll film every person throwing and swinging a bat, but there are no balls.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. They insert the balls in later.
Like basketball movies where they play without the ball.
It's hilarious. It's funny.
Interesting.
But a fun show. A very fun show. And a second season coming.
Love the movie.
I'll give it a whirl.
Thanks. We can talk about it later.
Okay.
Will you fly back from Taiwan to break down A League of Their Own?
If you ask me to, Taz, I'll do it. Anything for you.
Well, what's up with this Aaron Judge guy? Is he going to get...
I've heard of him.
Okay, so he's too short of 62. Pujols is too short of 700. Last week, everybody thought both would be achieved.
Sure.
But the numbers are dwindling. It's Judge has got to be able to get there. He hit the warning track blast yesterday that people were saying that the camera operator behind the plate, JD, apparently was, quote unquote trolling people because the ball went up into center field and the camera was like 50 feet over the and then finally as the ball was caught he tilted his camera down to the catch. Wow. But I think like everybody else he just didn't know because we were watching it together.
Yeah, we watched. Some people thought it was out.
Skeet said, "Oh, that's a pop out." But you never know with Josh. He didn't know. He didn't know. He was on the fence. You could see he was.
Yeah.
Is this number 61? Does it matter to you if he gets 61 or 62? I feel like I know it's not the American League record. I know it's not the Yankee record, but 60 is just so much more of a mark for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on who you ask. I think if you talk to someone who's like an older fan, 61 is a very hallowed number. When you talk to a younger fan, I think they still like recognize and respect the accomplishment. I mean, how could you not? But I think there's more of a narrative, you know, among younger fans that regardless of what Bonds did or didn't do, I'm not going to get into that, but you know, they say like Bonds is the single season home run record, and then older fans just simply say no, like 61 is kind of the true record in their mind. But you know, regardless of your feelings either way, I mean, what Aaron Judge has done this year, he's had a phenomenal season. I hope he breaks it. I'm a diehard Jays fan, but I absolutely love Aaron Judge. I think he's great for the game. He's going to break it. It's just a matter of when. Yeah.
What's his contract going to be like this coming off season? Because he turned down.
Yeah.
A deal.
Smart move.
Before the season.
Smart move.
And now he is producing.
Yeah. Judge is one of those guys. He's in that pantheon, that rare pantheon of athletes where, you know, you're getting a skilled player, but you're getting a guy who sells tickets, who sells jerseys, who's recognizable. You're getting more than talent, you know, like with Judge, and you know, you're gonna pay for that. He's a homegrown Yankee. Is he gonna touch $500 million? I don't believe so. But I think he's gonna be around $400 million, and I'm gonna go over on it. He bet on himself, like good for him. The Yankees, I just can't see letting him go. Like he's so important to that franchise, not only on the field, but like off of it as well. Great reputation. The Yankees are going to have to pay for that.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I know that you are sort of tired of the Dodgers winning as we chat about. You're kind of tired of the Dodgers just being so damn good.
Yeah.
They're so productive. They've won 9 of the last 10 Western Division titles.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's amazing.
Are you the same way with the Yankees? Because that's my, you know, my bitter pill as a Blue Jays fan. I just, you know, they are the Yankees. But it seems like you're more about that with the Dodgers, who at least grow their own prospects. You know, they do it internally.
They're similar franchises, but they're also different in some respects. I mean, they're both wealthy. There's not a lot of players they can't afford. The Dodgers, I would say, have arguably the best front office or one of. I'm not saying the Yankees have a bad one, but they just kind of go about their business a bit differently. It's not that I'm sick of the Dodgers winning. It's just...
You hate them.
I don't hate them, but like how many kicks at the can are you going to get? Like you have to win. You know what I mean? And there's also a business element too. And, you know, contrasting that with the Yankees, like these are two franchises that collectively over the last, like since the year 2000, they've won 2 World Series between the two of them. Okay. And the Dodgers won, they won in COVID. I know it's still a World Series, but, you know, they've spent billions and billions and billions of dollars. and they don't, and they have, and between the two franchises, they have two, let's say 1.5 championships to show for it. In my opinion, that, I don't want to say it's a failure, but you can't, I mean, I can't be satisfied with those results, you know? Like I said, like to spend all that money and to have, and just to have playoff appearances to show for it, you have to be winning championships at that level.
Yeah, it's not as evil to me as the Yankees, just because they do manufacture some, they do bring up their own players, they do draft. But I hear what you're saying. I called the Dodgers an evil empire a little bit earlier in the season. It's not accurate. It's not accurate. The Yankees are an evil empire. They're allowed to be. The Dodgers spend. You have to spend. That's what this game is about.
Sure.
That's unfortunate, but that's what it's all about. Are the Dodgers a little like the Braves in the 90s in terms of winning but not winning enough? But they don't spend the same way.
Yeah, always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Yeah. I mean, that's a fair question. And winning division titles in baseball is still an accomplishment. I mean, you know, you can hang a banner or whatever, but it is amazing because you have to do that over 162 games. Like, that's not easy to do. Like, that is an accomplishment. But with those franchises specifically, it's not about winning division titles. It's about winning championships. And they, you know, they just have failed to do that.
Okay, so we're on the Dodgers here. Let's stick to the Dodgers. I want to talk a little bit more about Judge. But
sure.
The Dodgers have clinched. 3 weeks to go in the season.
Yeah.
Good or bad thing that they've got all this time to chill out a little bit as the number one seed in the NL. They will definitely by far have home field advantage, have the bye.
Yeah.
That's going to be a long time before they play another series, before they play in the NLDS.
That's a good question because this is the first year of the new playoff format, you know, where the top two teams in each league get a bye. So it's hard for me to say, like, do I think it's good? Do I think it's bad? Because this is the first time we're going to see it. I mean, obviously you want it, like, resting guys after 162 games is obviously beneficial. But then it's the whole, like, same with the NFL. Like, do you, like, is the bye beneficial? Or, like, do you want your guys playing to kind of maintain that edge? I don't know.
I was having this debate, too, with myself over the last few months. And part of it is, your guys stay in rhythm.
Yeah.
But your pitchers have to go pitch another wild card series.
Sure.
That's a three-game series that in, let's say, the Braves, they're battling here with the Mets. If they end up having to be in the wild card series instead of getting that bye, you know, they're going to have to throw Fried and Wright.
Right.
And then a few days later, they want to throw Fried and Wright again if they do get to that NLDS, which is going to be a barn burner. That's, instead of three series that the Dodgers will have to win, the four series is, even though it's a 2 out of 3,
And the playoffs too, like, are very much a bullpen game. Like, the strategy and the way the game is played in playoffs versus, like, a game in May, like, is very different. Like, it's a bullpen game. Obviously you want your starters to go as deep as possible. So having that, I don't know, load management, but, you know, like, specifically managing your bullpen in October, like, having a rest would be very, very beneficial. But that's for the bullpen, like, you know, the position players the guy is hitting, maybe they feel differently about it.
Okay, back to the Yanks there.
Yeah.
Because Aaron Judge could get the Triple Crown. And I just thought of this now. Now, every MLB record is generally, you are the RBI leader, home run leader, average leader in the AL. You've got the Triple Crown.
Right.
But now they play with the same rules. Shouldn't you have to have the most RBIs if you're talking about Judge getting the Triple Crown, which if in the AL, if we're talking about the rules as they are, or the, you know, the stats categories as they are, he would win the Triple Crown. But in the NL, you know, guys are hitting, what's the stat where he's third in average?
Judge.
Yeah. Overall. He's behind two NL players. So shouldn't it be the entire, like, why is it just half the league that he has to beat? You know what I mean?
I get it. It's AL and NL, though. You know, like, there's always separate awards.
That's weird. It's weird. Why isn't, like, the rookie, I don't know, looking back. I know, it's just, I think, feel like it's the one sport, I guess. I guess in football, there's an AFC Rookie of the Year and an NFC Rookie of the Year.
Is there? I don't know. Yeah.
It's interesting.
You're right. Like, now that you bring that up, it is weird. I mean, it's always been like that. But, yeah.
He would win the Triple Crown as of today, which is amazing. Again, average, leading the league in average home runs.
I don't think RBI. Judge is leading an average. I think he's just behind.
Is he?
Oh, he is? Oh,
he's
okay. Up.
Yeah, he is. Xander Bogaerts is second.
Okay.
No, he is currently. He would win it.
Mm-hmm.
The first player since who to win the Triple Crown?
Miggy. And that was a controversial MVP, like, when he won, because Miggy won the Triple Crown 2012?
Correct.
2000, I can't believe.
Correct.
I can't 12. Remember.
2012.
But that was when Trout had, like, an absolutely, like, monster year. And in my opinion, like, statistically, Trout had a far superior season, you know, than what Cabrera did. Cabrera still had a great year, but, you know, the Triple Crown, you know, still has that prestige, you know, that mainstream appeal, I guess. Mm. And he
That's
won
right.
it. But
That's
that
why
was a,
I like
that
it.
Was, yeah, but that was a very, like, if you ask, like, you know, real baseball fans, like, I think a lot would say Trout was more deserving. But, like, Judge has a good chance of winning the Triple Crown, but his advanced stats and everything on top of that are just, I mean, he's first in virtually everything. He's having a season for the ages. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, like, while we're on the topic, I know some people might disagree, but I mean, in my opinion, he's the hands down MVP of the American League. If I was voting, I'm picking him over Ohtani. And I know a lot of people might not, but, you know,
it's a great debate.
Well,
what's your number one reason why Judge should be voted over Ohtani?
Because, like, with Ohtani, we've never seen anything like this before.
Why? Well, yeah.
Like, not since Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
Like, this is such a unique situation. And he's, like, no one can do what he does.
So that makes him the MVP. No, I'm just...
But, like, if you... I know this is, like, you know, this gets brought up a lot. Take Judge and take Ohtani off of... Like, take their production off of their respective teams this year. Anaheim is just... I think they're third or fourth right now. You know, they would be even worse. If you remove Judge's production from New York, they're not a first place team. They're better than 500, but they're significant. Like, they're not first place. You know, maybe it's Toronto. Like, maybe it's Tampa Bay. Like, he right now, I think he's worth almost 10 wins above replacement. That's a very, very elite season. So, you know, in my opinion, like, who's more important to their team? Like, it's Judge, but then I know people have different versions of, like, what's most valuable player. So
the fact that Ohtani hasn't been playing for anything for a significant part of the season here for the last, you know, 6 to 8 weeks or so.
Yeah.
That's big. Aaron, we were watching the television yesterday because we wanted to see Judge hit 60+, but their season has been obviously a roller coaster.
Yeah.
It looked like they were going to have their best season ever. Then it looked like the Jays could overtake them.
Yeah.
And it's been on that guy's shoulders.
Exactly.
They started batting this dude leadoff.
Yeah.
That's unheard of
to
me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just happened, you know, the last few weeks or so. But because their offense was so underwater.
Yeah.
They needed to get him as many at-bats as possible.
Yeah.
And so you couldn't pitch around him as much, which is happening so much, and it's aggravating to watch at times.
Yeah.
I think it was Wednesday night. Pittsburgh was down 11-2 to the Yanks.
Oh, yeah, and they...
So this is the bottom of the eighth. The Yankees had a runner on second base.
Mm-hmm.
Judge was at the plate. It's 11-2.
Yeah.
The game is over.
Yeah.
This is the last at-bat for the Yankees as well, because it's the bottom of the eighth. You know, obviously, the Pirates are not coming back.
Yeah.
And they just pitch around Judge.
Yeah.
Because there is an open base at first. And I know a lot of people, a lot of respectable baseball people. I saw Lindsay Adler of The Athletic, who writes for the Yankees, say, someone I respect, say that's the right thing to do. In terms of baseball, in terms of winning that inning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. But the game is over. Has any team ever come back in the ninth inning from a 9-run deficit? Probably not. Ever.
It's rare if it's happened.
Well, maybe one in 5 billion baseball games that have ever existed. I don't know how, if you're the Pirates, how do you pitch around a guy to put him on and pitch to somebody yeah, the next guy who you're going to get out. But it just seems a little bonkers to me. And there's been so many,
yeah,
so many non-intentional, intentional walks to Aaron Judge.
Exactly.
Which is baseball, I get it.
Yeah, there's strategy too. Yeah, but in that case specifically with the Pittsburgh game, I think it's a bit of a bad look, you know. Yeah, just, I mean, like, pitch to him, you know.
Have you been to a game at Pittsburgh? Because that's a
I have been to PNC. Beautiful stadium, one of the best MLB stadiums in my opinion.
And you're ticking them off the list, right? How many you're at?
I think I'm at 18 or 19. No, after this trip, I'll be at 18 or 19 once I do Angel Stadium, I don't know what it's called, and Petco, going to California for a couple of days. Yeah.
Petco, baby.
Yeah.
That seems like a nice park.
Looks great. I'm excited to go. Yeah.
Congratulations. Will you come back? Well, if I ask you to, will you come back after you do you finish your 30? You're going to finish all 30s.
Oh, absolutely. That's the goal. Yeah.
When's the goal?
I mean, realistically,
I want to know if it lines up with the end of our contract here at The Athletic to determine whether or not you can come back on and talk about all 30 teams. That would be great. Have you done Tropicana?
I haven't done the Trop. I haven't done the Trop.
That's what I was thinking about, because when did the Jays go there?
They're there right now.
Oh, yeah. They're there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got blasted yesterday. Sorry.
I know. Don't remind me.
Yeah, I was confused about the dates. But, yeah, they're playing so many damn games. Do you like the fact that they're going away next year from all these divisional games and playing more interleague games? I think that makes sense.
I absolutely love the balanced schedule. I you know, I mean, like, look at the American League East. It's a meat grinder. You know, you're going to have – I don't know what Boston's record is. I think they might finish below 500, but not by much. They're going to have four teams finish above 500, you know, and then compare that to any other division in the league. It's not even close. I don't want to play New York 19 times or 18 or 19 times a year, you know, while, you know, the Guardians, like, they get to play, you know, the Kansas City Royals 19 times a year. Like, that's just, you know, it's not fair. So a balanced schedule, I absolutely support. Totally.
And you use the term meat grinder there, and I that's great.
I'm bringing it back.
That's never been on the show before. Yeah. I think in the history of this program, we've never heard that on the show once, so thank you for bringing that back. I like asking you trivia. The last Yankee to win the Triple Crown, which, again, now that we're talking about interleague play, it's got to include both leagues. It doesn't make sense to just be – anyways.
Yeah.
That's from an outsider looking in. I guess it's
But that makes sense, though. I mean, if you're going to do, like, a balanced schedule, then realistically it makes sense just to have one – like one MVP for the entire league, yeah, because it's a balanced schedule.
Anyways, it was a long time ago that a Yankee won
the Triple Crown.
Triple Crown.
I believe it was Mickey Mantle.
You are bang on.
Yeah.
What year was it?
I'm going to say
it was a good year. I'm just kidding. It wasn't.
I don't know.
It was just a year.
I don't know what year. 1960 something.
56. But good guess.
Okay.
As a Jays fan, mm-hmm, right now they're on the Astros side of the bracket, mm-hmm, because they would host the Rays, who, you know, not fun.
Yeah.
A little worrisome. And then they would go play the Astros. You'd rather be on the other side of the bracket, which is, you know, the 3-6 side,
mm-hmm,
and go face the number 2 Yankees rather than the Astros, right?
Yeah. Like, as a Jays fan, like, they've been so hot and I don't like, it's weird because, like, they're so talented and they can look so good on certain nights, and then they, you know, I mean, I guess that's any team, but I legitimately thought they were going to be a real World Series threat. You know, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
I still think they're a very good team. I don't think they could beat Houston. I don't think they could get by Houston. I think they could get by New York. I think they could get by Tampa Bay if they play them at home in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of our Lex Luthor. But, yeah, like, don't want to play Houston. I think Houston is still the top dog in the American League, absolutely.
I totally agree with you. But there is some infighting with the Rays. They had that little
– Oh, yeah, I saw they had a little bit of a dust-up there.
Yeah, a Rosarena and
what was it
Diaz
about? Do you know?
Nah, I don't know if anybody knows. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure. I didn't follow it that closely, but
– yeah.
The Rays are a thorn in the Jays' side, so who the heck knows with that situation there.
If we have to play Tampa Bay in the wild card round in Tampa Bay, I'm not even going to watch. I can't. Like, we're not going to win that series.
But wouldn't you rather in Tampa? They're better. The Jays are a better road team.
Like not a Tropicana field.
Yeah, not a Tropicana.
That is our house of horrors. We just can't win there, you know.
It is interesting that first round of three would be played entirely in the home team stadium, so all three games.
Yeah,
I like that. I do like that instead of the flying.
Yeah,
back and forth.
Logistically, it makes sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess it does. I mean, all these teams just charter planes anyway. It is better. Yeah. It's better. It makes sense. It makes better baseball. It's like the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like that because I don't know. I mean, going back in the history of sports, a three-game series all on one team's, you know, field or court, I just don't remember that.
I don't. Yeah, happening. I don't think that's happened before. Yeah.
So I like it. I like the innovation of that. We got four rounds of playoffs. It is weird, these expanded playoffs, to have, that sixth best team in each league make it.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard the guys on the Athletic MLB show discuss how it's kind of made September a little less exciting. Do you really care about the wild card races? I agree with that. It'll make the beginning of October exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But
I disagree. I mean, I think more parity is better for the game. Like, look how many, last couple of years, because a lot of teams were tanking and they were trying to lose as many games to get picks. With the recent collective bargaining agreement that they signed, with these new rules, and it's kind of nullified a bit of that. I think it's great, like there's more teams in the playoff race. Like, that's exciting. So you still got divisional races and you've still got those three wild card, spots, and there's a race for that as well. Like, that's exciting. I don't know if I would necessarily agree with that. Like, this is great for baseball.
Yeah, that's... To me, yeah, it can go too far. Six teams of the 15, I think, is enough.
Mm-hmm.
because we're starting to dilute it. It's I understand, fan bases, and now in Seattle, for instance, mm-hmm. They're obviously extremely excited as the sixth seed. I get that.
Yeah.
But, the argument is, okay, well, if half the league is going to start making the playoffs, the MLB wanted seven of the 15 teams to make it, then... Why are we even trying, really? Like, why are we going for it when we're going to make the playoffs? Anything can happen in the postseason. It kind of makes the regular season even less important with 162 games, right? Because we're going to get in.
Yeah.
And we're more likely to get in if it keeps expanding. I just don't know where you draw the line.
Six is – I mean, they basically added one playoff team. I mean, before – you had your three division winners, and then you had your two wildcard teams. So that was five teams.
Yeah,
just added one more.
They just keep adding, but it was four. It was three plus one.
Yeah.
Three division winners plus a wild card.
Right.
Then we got that fifth one in. Now we got that sixth one in. It just makes August and September drag a little bit.
Sure. Sure. I mean, but it's still, like, from a fan standpoint, like, having more teams in it, I think, is good for the product and good for the fan bases of those teams are in it. Case in point, like, last year, Toronto-Atlanta, perfect example. The Toronto Blue Jays won more games than Atlanta did last year. But the Braves played in a weaker division, and they end up going to win the World Series. It just seems unfair, like having an expanded playoffs, like, addresses some of the stuff like this, because you want to have the best teams in the playoffs, and not every season. I feel like every season there's always a team or two that, like, has a better record, but they miss it. With these new with this new playoff format, you have those teams in, which I think is good. Because if Toronto had got into the playoffs last year, like, we were playing great, in September. And I think we would have, ifs or buts or whatever, but I think we would have done well had we qualified for the playoffs, but we didn't get in, whereas, like, if we had that playoff format last year, like, we would have got in.
Well, I'm just glad you're on the show to say we, as like, you're a member of the team.
Yeah.
Always love that.
I know. Sorry.
That's all. You don't have to be sorry about that. You're a Canadian. So you got to be sorry for everything.
Yeah, this is true.
Well, as a Canadian, are you insulted that Aaron Judge wears 99? That's Wayne Gretzky's number.
Am I insulted? No, I mean, spread the wealth,
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, they're both very talented players.
Okay,
you know?
Okay. No one's Wayne.
Okay.
No one's Wayne.
No one's Wayne?
No one. No one. Actually, we're going to talk about a great Canadian baseball player a little later, but let's take a quick break.
Okay.
We're going to talk to Chris Kirschner, who got to dress in an Italian sausage costume and race around a baseball field. All right, stay tuned for that after a quick break.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome back to No Bunts. Every home game since 1994, the Milwaukee Brewers run a sausage race. Every single home game, five people get dressed up as various meats and run around the stadium. And we are lucky enough to have a person who ran in that race recently. This is very exciting to talk to Chris Kirschner, who covers the Yankees for The Athletic. Chris, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, first question is, how? How did this dream come true, Chris?
So it started with an NJ.com writer, Randy Miller. Randy ran the race 22 years ago at the old Brewer Stadium, and he's been wanting to do it since the Yankees were scheduled to play the Brewers. So he asked one of the PR people. They needed two more volunteers to run the race, and I was a bat boy in the minor leagues for 4 years, so I had tons of experience running in different costumes. So I figured might as well add a sausage to my list and add it to the resume. So that's how I ended up coming to be the Italian sausage that day.
Yes, you were the Italian sausage. I didn't know you were a ringer, that you had done the races in the minor leagues. Interesting. So let's go through the various meets. There's five contestants in each of these races. Left to right, if you're with us on YouTube, number one is the bratwurst, number two is the Polish sausage, number three on this particular night was Chris Kirschner of The Athletic, the Italian sausage, number four was the hot dog, and number five is the chorizo. So did you get to pick, Chris?
So I couldn't choose the chorizo, and Randy was dead set on being the bratwurst. Brian Hoke, who covers the Yankees for MLB.com, wanted to be the Polish sausage, so it was between the Italian sausage and what was number four?
Hot dog. The lowly hot dog.
Yeah, so one of the Brewers workers was the hot dog, so by process of elimination, I was the Italian sausage. And that night, the chorizo had to win. So like they brought in a ringer. He was being recruited to run track in college. So there's no chance that I was winning. So I guess by technicality, outside of chorizo, I would have won the race if it was like a regular race. But
okay. I'll take second. So to be clear, the chorizo had to win? What do you mean by had to win?
Yeah, there was like some sort of promotion that night. He was wearing a shirt. I didn't get a good look at it. Yeah, there was just some promotion at the stadium that night that chorizo had to win.
Okay.
Didn't get more details, but that's what I was told.
Blasphemy. This is.
I know, it's rigged.
It's absolutely ridiculous. That was going to be one of my questions, because you see a lot of these races as you've participated in, you know, you get these, even these like digital races when I think in Boston, they have, you know, the Dunkin' Donut race, the coffee cup or whatever. And digitally, okay, it's rigged. But I didn't know that for whatever dumb reason they had to have, I guess there was a promotion and what, they needed to sell chorizos?
I don't know the exact promotion. I was under the impression that it was going to be a fair race. And then when we went down into the tunnel to like put on the costumes, they told us that chorizo is winning. You know, that this guy was being recruited for track. I'm not a track star. Didn't run track in high school. Haven't sprinted like that and God knows when. So,
but this guy was
much of a chance.
This guy was the fastest guy anyway. Regardless, so that's why they put him, I guess, in that costume.
Yeah, that's why he was in chorizo.
Okay.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that the chorizo that night was the fastest on out of all the sausage races that they've done. I think for this season, that he had, I think it was like a 14-second finish. But once I saw that he was like 20 yards ahead of me, I gave up.
Okay, yeah, and we're watching the race here on YouTube. To paint the picture, it takes place sort of all on the dirt around the infield, like towards the fence. So you start on one dugout, kind of run behind the plate towards the other dugout, and the chorizo just blew you away. But
yeah,
a solid second, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, like, I probably could have finished a little closer to him, but again, once I saw that he was 50 feet ahead of me, there was no need to continue sprinting. I mean, I'll take second place. I wish they would have given us a little sausage trophy that I could put on my mantle or something. Just have to tell people for the next however long I live that I was in second place in the sausage race.
Yeah, you kind of you did a little Usain Bolt at the end there. You kind of let up a little bit. And then you took a photo. You threw up the peace signs, which is very funny. It's a thing with us in the media, especially being on TV. I never know what to do with my hands, me, myself, personally. So the peace signs is a good maneuver. Are you happy with how the photo turned out and your choice for the peace signs?
So I was going to do one of the Usain Bolt when he did the Bolt after like the Olympics, whenever he would finish. But because I finished in second, I couldn't do that too. Usain, so I guess the peace signs was what I had to go with.
Oh, so that was post-race?
Yeah, that was post-race.
Oh, wow. You looked great. You looked fresh.
Yeah, no, you can't see that I was drenched in sweat underneath it because we were in the costume for an inning and a half, and the thing weighs like 30-40-ish pounds. Like, you would think it's like kind of a light thing, but it's super heavy. And it's super hot in there. So I was drenched in sweat. So no, I did not look good underneath that.
And final question, how was the crowd for the sausage race? Were they excited to see you guys all line up?
Yeah, so it was a 3-game series and probably like the loudest the crowd gets in Milwaukee is for the sausage race. And that's probably one of the coolest parts is they had 41,000 people that night and they're all screaming their faces
chorizo,
off.
Chorizo, chorizo.
So yeah, I mean like that part is like really cool to experience what, you know, 40,000 plus people screaming for you is like. I probably won't ever experience that again. So that's something that is one of the cooler parts of running in the race.
For sure. As funny as this is, you got to hear people cheering and pretending it was for you and not for the chorizo. Every time I order a sausage now, Chris, I am going to be cheering excitedly. This was awesome. I really appreciate you coming on and talking about your second place sausage race. You can find Chris Kirschner writing for the New York Yankees, or for The Athletic, about the New York Yankees. He's in Yankee Stadium right now, as you could hear behind you. Are you in the cafeteria or what? We heard a lot of plates banging. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, we're good. Food comes out in 3 minutes. So a lot of ruckus in there.
All right. Well, we'll let you get to that. Yeah, hopefully some sausages shall be served. Chris.
thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot for coming on, man. All right. The food is here, as Chris Kirschner was in the media room waiting for craft services to serve everybody. Very, very funny. Great talking to him. A lot of fun as he made his way around the infield. It's amazing.
I'd love to do that. That'd be fun.
Of course. It'd be so much fun. Mm-hmm. Did you don't have your earbuds in. Excuse me. So you didn't hear that they basically picked the chorizo to win because they had a promotion going on in the stadium to sell chorizos.
Okay.
So
smart.
I guess.
Yeah.
I guess. They've been doing that for like almost 30 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Since the Robin Yount days.
Oh, Robin Yount, bringing it back.
Yeah. So, yeah, going back, I mean, that's almost to the Blue Jays days, almost to my, you know, my favorite moments as a Blue Jays fan. I definitely, you know, was sort of dissuaded off I fell off the cliff in 94, 95, 96, 97.
Yeah.
That era. I mean, I like that era, but the strike definitely changed things.
No doubt.
We've got a Blue Jays and a Montreal Expos shirt here for sale on No Bunts. Mm-hmm. What could have been in 1994?
Oh.
Those two teams were leading their respective leagues as the strike happened. They could have been meeting. What
I don't believe that Montreal was. I don't think Toronto was doing that hot in 1994. They weren't leading.
Oh, come on. You come on here and question me. You could be right. But I don't think so.
I know Montreal was having a great, but Toronto
wasn't doing so hot
in 94.
I've said that piece of information, which you're telling me is not a piece of information. I'm spreading misinformation. I've said that probably 100 times in my life.
Okay.
Let's check.
Let's look it up.
Is there a site for that?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's called Google.
Yeah.
I'm not Googling.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure, yeah, we were not having a great year in 94.
1994 standings. Oh, my God. You're so right. How did that happen?
The old steel trap, Tass. The old steel trap.
Well, I guess I knew that the Jays would come back from their 55-60 record. That's not very good.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great.
So the wild card, why did they had three divisions back? Oh, no, they're just separating them here. No.
I think I believe 94 is actually the first year. Yeah, they went to three divisions. Yeah.
And a wild card then.
Yeah, had that season have played out, but obviously they went on strike that year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make myself feel better because the wild card was somewhat in play.
It was, yeah, correct.
Because they weren't catching the Yankees. There were 16 games back in the Yankees.
No.
Wow.
Yeah, and the Yankees.
I have been spreading misinformation for a very long time, Joel.
That's okay. It happens. And then in 95.
Wow.
The Yankees. Did the Yankees win the division? They ended up playing Seattle in that crazy playoff series. Yeah. Where Griffey Jr. slid home. That was such a great game, yeah. But yeah, 94 just wasn't our year.
Actually, you bring up Griffey, and we talked about this off air.
Mm-hmm.
You think a big reason why some fans haven't really glommed on to baseball is because guys like Griffey never won.
Yeah, like we were talking about this with the NBA, like specifically. Jordan, like James, you've had the generational talents go deep into the playoffs for a large portion of their career. Fans are always seeing them go deep, see them in those key moments. Like that's when like superstars, I feel like, are truly made. With a guy like Griffey and even today, like with Mike Trout, you don't have that. You know, I mean, Mike Trout is the most talented baseball player in a long time. But if you would say to like the common baseball fan, like who's been the best player like of the last like 15 or 20 years, you would obviously get people who would say Mike Trout, but there's a lot of people who would say other guys, guys who have had like Mookie Betts, like Derek Jeter. Now, statistically, they're inferior to Trout and by, you know, a substantial margin, but they have championships. Like they go deep into the playoffs. Like people see them win. You know, championships obviously, you know, like add to that to the casual mm-hmm. sports fan. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but
isn't that just sort of part of the nature of the game where a guy just can't influence the outcome of a game and right. a season the way a basketball player can.
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, that's the thing. Like Trout's a great player on a very bad team. You can't, like, fault him for that. But as much as I like Mike Trout, and I mean, I loved Griffey. You know, like, Griffey was my favorite player growing up, as I'm sure he was, like, a lot of guys, you know, from our generation. But it's hard to make a compelling case to say, like, they were, like, they're the GOAT or, like, they were the greatest because like they didn't really have any playoff success, mm-hmm. you know, like it's, I don't know. That's a big thing that is missing from their resume. And yeah.
Joel, I can't get over that. You broke my Canadian heart by telling me the Jays weren't going to three-peat. You told me that the Jays, I can't believe how far back they were. Anyways, as a Canadian baseball fan,
yeah,
I screwed that up. But also one thing I've missed over the last couple decades, not really tuning into baseball, mm-hmm. is a great Canadian by the name of Joey Votto.
Oh, love Joey Votto.
Because every time I see anything sort of noteworthy about him, it's mm-hmm. usually not something he's doing on the field. It's,
right.
It's something where he's hanging out with
yeah.
fans like he was this week. He was literally in the stands mm-hmm. meeting kids.
Yeah.
He was just watching the game.
Yeah.
And he was meeting everybody because he's a cool dude.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've missed out on the career of Joey Votto, mm-hmm. especially because he spent it entirely with the Cincinnati Reds.
Right.
Which I don't really follow the NL Central all that closely.
Neither do I. Yeah.
I think that's one weird thing about it's a unique thing about baseball in that the league's, you're either a supporter of one or you're a supporter of the other. Like, you really follow
one
or the other.
Yeah.
It's somewhat like that in basketball, but it's you can jump back and forth. People jump back and forth a little bit more than baseball. So the Cincinnati Reds, I think more about driving from Atlanta to Toronto and then mm-hmm. seeing Cincinnati on that on that hill.
Yeah.
And I get excited. We're 6 hours into this drive. Whoa, there's a city here. This is exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cute little city. Never been there. Have you been to the ballpark?
I have not been to Cincinnati, no. I'd like to go. Yeah, looks like a phenomenal baseball park, yeah.
Our man Kelly Dwyer, who we had on a couple weeks ago, said there's not a bad seat in the house.
I believe it,
I believe it as well. And more of a storied franchise than I thought, you know, looking back on them.
Yeah, they're one of the oldest franchises, yeah.
So what about Joey? Tell me something about Joey, because he's in his twilight, he's basically... Yeah. Done. He hasn't had a lot of playoff success, but he brought the team. He was part of.
Yeah, they made the playoffs a couple of years. I mean, he's a very unique and entertaining and just a good-hearted person. You know, like that clip we just
sounds
saw.
Sounds like you.
Sorry?
Sounds like you.
Sounds like me? Maybe.
Unique, entertaining, good-hearted person. Anyway, go on.
Tess, I want to come on the show all the time. You're just going to speak to me like this. I'm flattered.
Yeah.
Desperate.
I'm desperate for people to come on the show. Can you come on again?
I'll be back tomorrow. No, he's just like a really good dude. And I don't know if you saw him. He was mic'd up at the, they did the like Field of Dreams game.
Oh, yeah.
And like that was, you know, like him talking about his dad was really cool. And then he was in the booth a couple weeks ago too. And I don't know if you saw this clip either. Like, he was just talking about, like, why baseball is unique and special. And he just kind of, like, went through, you know, like, several reasons. And, like, you can tell he's really passionate about the game. Like, he's a great baseball player. But you can just tell, like, it's almost like he's a fan of the game, too. Like, when you hear him speak like this. It's mm-hmm. I've never really heard another baseball player, you know, speak like him or talk about the game like him. Like, he's just very invested in this. It's cool to see.
Yeah, as you can tell that he is absolutely mm-hmm. in love with the game. He's just hanging out there.
Yeah.
He put on a Barry Larkin jersey and just hung out there with the fans. Yeah, it's something I missed out on. Excuse me. The Joey Votto experience. It just sometimes I don't even realize he's Canadian.
Yeah.
He's from
Toronto, Ontario.
He's from Toronto.
I believe Ontario. Toronto, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. He is from Toronto, Ontario. Mm-hmm. Just like this show was once upon a time, but here we are down in the south. And yeah, sometimes I drive past Cincinnati and I say, well, I should stop there, and I don't stop there.
Stop in.
I should. When are you going to, when's Cincinnati gonna be ticked off your list?
TBD. TBD. I'll let you know. We'll go together.
No doubt.
We'll share nachos.
How do you like your nachos?
How do I like my nachos? Like, is there different ways to prepare nachos? Okay, well, how do you like your nachos, I should say?
Good. I like them good. I want them fresh. That's the biggest thing. I don't care if it's...
Stale chips. Yeah. Buzzkill. Buzzkill. Yeah.
If I know that they're being fried right then and there, I'll have anything on them. I'm not that particular. I do want to... You know, some sort of bean, something.
Oh, okay. Not a bean guy. We still friends?
Yeah. You better believe it. Beans on half. No?
Can't do it.
You can't even roll with that?
You're afraid of beans? I'm going to keep it simple. Cheese jalapenos. At a ball game. Oh, yeah. Okay. At a ball game.
Yeah, we're talking about... You're right. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm throwing beans on that.
Okay.
Maybe. Well, you got the spice with the jalapenos.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited. We can share.
But I'm not really okay, what's a ballpark snack? What's your go-to ballpark snack?
My go-to ballpark snack.
It's a fair question.
Absolutely a fair question. Got to be a dog.
I'm with you. Dog or a sausage? Okay. One of the two. I'm not going to split hairs, but yeah, I'm with you on that one. Yeah.
Honorable mention
to popcorn.
It's got to be a meat grinder in a bun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Honorable mention to popcorn, yeah. And then nachos. No. Popcorn's definitely not in the top two or three. Peanuts have to be thrown in there.
For ballparks, yeah, that's fair.
It's one of the only places you can be messy and get away with it.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
unless ballpark. You're in one of those bars that you can throw, you know, shells on the...
Yeah.
Which is gross. As a sunflower seed guy, you know, for the last 20 years of my life.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed it, but now it's almost too disgusting to just spit them. Like it's become, not because it's become taboo, in my eyes, I just don't like doing it. Mm-hmm. And I'm playing softball this year. I'm playing on some artificial turf. Like it's almost too nice to spit stuff on.
Right.
If it was like horrendous grass, maybe. Anyways, we're veering. But nachos too messy. I like things simple at a ballpark.
I do too. Yeah. You got to keep it. You're sitting in a tight confined space. Yeah. That's why the dog and the sausage works easy. And so does popcorn. Yeah. And penis as well.
Yeah. That's a nice family of snacks right there.
That is.
Especially when, the foil wrapped hot dog.
Oh, all day.
You're right. The mess is not non-existent.
Yeah.
Because you can, and I mean the transfer from the concession stand, mm-hmm. going to your seat because you're wrapped. You've got your condiments on there.
You're good to go.
I'm going
to
push back on the hot dogs not being messy.
I saw you pull the mic over there.
You know, it. Some mustard, and especially with sausage, you know, onions and peppers, that shit gets everywhere.
Yeah,
that especially for us bearded dudes. Mm-hmm. Mustard in the beard, not good. Mm-hmm. Not good at all. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But there's no way I'm not getting a hot dog at a baseball game. Like, that's happening. Yeah. But just to say it's not messy is just not true. It's not true.
I don't know, JD. I think you have to be... You have to have...
I'm a slob.
Dress it delicately.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
It's about that, I think.
Yeah.
But listen, I'm glad I don't have a big beard for that reason.
No. Yeah, exactly.
That's a problem.
It's a burden. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you for coming on, Joel.
Yeah, I've had a great time.
So you think you might come back? Or
I'd absolutely love to come back.
I'm shocked that we didn't go to a Braves game. I missed an annual tradition. That's okay. I know it's just one of 18 or 19 that, you know, will be ticked off. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got other things to do.
Yeah.
But very cool. I hope I get to Tampa. If they go to the playoffs in Tampa, if the Jays play there,
you got
to
go
represent.
Happens,
if that happens, yeah, that's got to happen for sure. Mm-hmm. That'd be fun. Would you fly back from Taiwan to go with me from Atlanta to Taiwan or to Taiwan to Tampa?
I do one trans-Pacific flight a year, so I can't do that twice. That's a long haul. Yeah.
What's your number one snack on your trans-Pacific flight? Last question.
Oh, last question?
You want
oddly
more questions?
Enough, peanuts. I'll go peanuts on an airplane for a good... Well, do they offer any other snacks on a plane?
Yeah.
I don't
like
know.
Everything.
Like what else? I mean, like complimentary snacks. Like almonds. I'm not going to pay $8.95 for like, you know, an egg salad sandwich. No, not doing
that. That's a good move because often not good. But the free stuff, almonds, they even have little bars.
I've never had almonds on an airplane. I've never been offered almonds on an airplane.
You're taking the wrong airline, man.
Okay.
If you said I've never had salted almonds on a plane, maybe.
Okay.
I think that's sort of gone out the window. Used to love a salted almond on a plane, but now they seem to be non-salted.
Mm.
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
You've never had an almond
on a plane?
I haven't
consumed a lot of almonds in North America in recent years.
So you're cracking peanuts?
Well, like they just give you the complimentary peanuts on the plane.
Okay, no, they're non-cracked. Yeah. They're already
cracked. You're not cracking shells on peanuts on an airplane. Yeah.
I'd love to see that. Just has completely covered in shells all around him.
Yeah, that's a bad look. Anyways, enjoy your Trans-Pacific flight back. Enjoy Petco and the field. We don't know what it's called in
Angel Stadium. Yeah, I should know it, but I don't. Yeah, but gonna go see. Yeah, excited to see Trout and Ohtani.
Amazing.
Yeah,
amazing. All right, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. It was great.
Really appreciate it. Make sure you're checking out No Buffs, of course. Is This Good coming back next week? But for now, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Oh. This is your line.
This is my line?
Yeah, when we say goodbye, remember we talked about this.
Okay.
So you say, or how about I say thanks for joining us, and then you say thanks for joining us, and remember...
Get lots of rest.
Yep.
Have the best friends and wear sandals as much as you can because tying shoelaces is just not for me anymore at this point in my life. I know it's not a good line, Taz. You put me on the spot. I'm sorry.
I told you during the during the interview.
I shanked that one. I'm sorry.
No, you thought we were saying goodbye. And,
okay.
And we are. Goodbye.
Okay. Bye-bye.